Folks, as I said in my introduction, each year the Parish Finance Commission gives a financial report to the parish. We've decided that the financial report will be mailed to every household this coming week. So when you get a envelope from the parish, please do not discard it. The financial statement is an opportunity for you to be aware of the financial health of the parish. This mail will also give you an opportunity to update the membership information about your family. So for example, if your children have moved out of the house and they live elsewhere but they are still parishioners here, or there are any other changes, somebody has passed away, please update the information in the enclosed form. We would like to make this some kind of a census update as well. So please do not discard it. Please use it. Since this is my first year as pastor, I thought it would be appropriate to address you on the state of the parish, like the state of the union. However, my focus is not financial, even though numbers are important. I would like to share with you my thoughts on missionary discipleship, a construct given to us by Pope Francis. After all, a local parish, which is an extension of the universal church, exists not for its own sake, but for the mission entrusted to her by Christ. This is an awesome privilege to be part of the mission. Our parish is one tangible way to participate in the church's mission. Let me do so, sharing with you 3 points. First of all, to think of life as a mission. My view of life obviously comes from my vocation to the priesthood. I joined the seminary when I was barely 17. During the course of my seminary life, I came to realize that my primary calling was not to the priesthood, but to discipleship. Today, I think of myself first and foremost as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And my priesthood is an expression of my discipleship. Yet, there is something more basic. My discipleship is a living out of my baptismal promises. It is my baptism that gives me my identity and mission. When I look at it this way, the mission of the church is the mission of every baptized Christian. You as lay Catholics, and I as an ordained priest, participate in the same mission with the same intensity. Let me take this a little further. We have a mission because we have life. We have life because God has breathed into us the breath of life. The breath we just took was a free gift. Imagine we had to pay for that breath. How much would you pay? Here is the deal then. The life we have, the persons we are, our freedom, our intelligence, every breath, every moment are gifts. But there is more. Our baptism, our faith, this Eucharist are also gifts. We have an awesome privilege to use these gifts to carry on the mission of Jesus Christ. Our work, for example, is not merely a means for us to make a living. It's an opportunity to take Christ's mission into places that we otherwise would have no influence. It's the same with marriage and family. Your marriage and family is at the service of the mission of Christ in the same way my priesthood is at the service of the mission of Christ. But it all begins at our baptism. I want to liken it to the military. Once you are enlisted in the armed forces, you are a veteran forever. Similarly, once we are baptized, we belong to Christ forever. In other words, all our life we are missionary disciples. At the end of our lives, our proudest moment will be to look back and discover that our life was at the service of Christ's mission. In the second point, I want to talk about what this mission is. One of the very first proclamations of the early church that describes Christ's mission is found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Recall that the church is barely a few days old. And this is what Peter proclaims. He says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. All the Gospels say this about Jesus, that he went about doing good. Jesus was the goodness of God given to humanity as a free gift. The mission of Jesus Christ has two dimensions, faith and works. Faith means trying to bring humanity to believe in the God of Jesus Christ. And works means continuing the good work that Jesus began. Think about this for a moment. You and I are invited to believe what Jesus believed and to do the same good that Jesus did. This is an awesome privilege. This is at the center of every Eucharist. At each Mass, we do not just eat the body of Christ and drink the cup, we become the body of Christ. In reality, we are sacraments of Christ. We are other Christs living in the world. Yes, Jesus died, rose, and has ascended to heaven. However, he has entrusted his mission to us. For this, he has also empowered us with the Holy Spirit. To the extent that we proclaim the good news with our lives, and to the extent that we continue the good work that Jesus began, to that extent, the mission of Christ expands and grows. Folks, it really is up to us. Now let me talk about our parish, the tangible mission. One way to look at the mission of Christ is the parish community. Apart from our individual lives and our families, the parish is the most visible sign of the mission of Christ in action. The pastor, the staff, the school, the parishioners, the students, and the various ministries, liturgical ministry, youth and young adult ministry, adult faith formation ministry, the ministry for the religious education of children, the Ministry of Temporal Affairs, like finances, human resources, bill paying, the maintenance of our buildings and facilities, the Sacramental Preparation Ministry, Baptism, First Communion, First Penance, Confirmation, and Marriage, Bereavement Ministry, the Food Pantry, the Social Justice Ministry, the Twinning with our parish in Paraguay, these are all geared up towards participating in the mission of Jesus Christ. It really is. However, to be excellent at this task, we need every parishioner's unique, prayerful, and passionate participation. Each parishioner must live out his or her call to missionary discipleship. First, it requires our most precious and limited resource, time. Second, it requires that each one of us reflects on the gifts and talents God has given us and discern how they can be used to accomplish the mission of Christ. Time, which is precious, and our gifts go together. It can range from the upkeep of the grounds to the liturgical ministries, from volunteering at our food pantry to packing food for students at our school, from hosting a Bible study to forming small faith-sharing communities, from being a sacristan to volunteering at the children's liturgy of the word, from singing in the choir to writing reflections for our website, from being a greeter outside the doors to stuffing bulletins on special occasions, from providing food to grieving families or planning the funeral liturgy with grieving families, from being a lector to providing meals at St. Vincent Hotel, from being a server at Mass to simply interceding for the world from your home, from taking communion to the homebound to visiting the sick, from organizing the healing Mass to organizing the parish library, from organizing retreats in Spanish to translating the Sunday homilies into Spanish. Our parish is very, very fortunate to have immensely generous, good-hearted, and passionate people who are the backbone of the parish's mission. You are part of it. I'm immensely grateful to all of you who give your time and talents to this holy task. And finally, our faith is at work when we allow God to direct our finances for furthering Christ's mission. This is true. No parish can exist without the financial contribution of its parishioners. It sustains just wages for our parish staff, pays electric, water, and gas bills, maintains our buildings and facilities, and sustains the many ministries of the parish. Without the financial generosity of its parishioners, the mission of the parish would be greatly impaired. When I became the associate pastor of this parish in 2008, the parish had a $350,000 debt. There was no coordinator for youth and young adult ministries, for liturgy, for religious education. Many needs of the facilities remained unattended, and the school staff and the parish staff were significantly underpaid. In fact, salaries in our parish was a shame. My personal approach was simply this: let's get busy with the mission of Christ, and the rest will follow. And this has come true. Whether it was bringing staff salaries to archdiocesan standards, paying off our debt, and building healthy reserves, hiring new staff for important ministries, or taking care of our facilities, we have made unprecedented progress. Really, we have made unprecedented progress. For example, for the first time in 12 years, we have 2 kindergarten classes in our school. The school is growing. More recently, we completed our bell tower project. The reason we have the pictures here is because we want you to see the difference between what we accomplished to the building, especially a lot of work done. Was a $131,000 project. You made it happen. However, all this couldn't have happened without your trust, your generosity, and the very hard work of the Finance Commission. Our Blessing of 10 program and the careful financial planning with IC 2020 has put us on a firm financial foundation. My most sincere thanks to all of you. However, I believe that we are at a very crucial juncture in our parish. We have the choice, we have a choice to make. Either we can maintain what we've accomplished or take the mission of Christ to newer areas. For example, apart from all the ministries we have, I believe that we must have a staff person who dedicates his or her time to family life. This is because during critical times in the family, say divorce, death, sickness, the parish has no person dedicated to accompany the family. Or there are about 10 to 15 weddings each year in the parish. We do not offer any post-wedding resources for families, for new families. Families new and established need immense support. Pope Francis calls for this ministry in his encyclical Amoris Laetitia. Another area is a school. Our school is proactive in taking children of first generation immigrants and refugees. And folks, sometimes we take them just as they come, fee or no fee. These children need a full-time ESL teacher to help them navigate the complexities of learning a new language and culture. 27% of our school population right now is in need of ESL training. 27%. What does that say about our school? We are catering to those who need Catholic education most. In fulfilling, the other aspect is the children's liturgy of the word. We need more volunteers for that. In any case, in fulfilling these aspects of the mission of Christ, I trust you, your generosity, and your absolute commitment to the mission of Christ. But let me be the first person to take the first step. Besides pastoring two parishes on my own right now, in this way giving my time and my talent, I'm deciding to increase my tithe contribution to the parish by 10%. May I request you to consider two things? Bring your time, your gifts, and your finances before God. In prayer and in conversation with your family, recommit yourself and your family to the mission of Christ. Folks, really think of what does it mean for me to be a missionary disciple? Secondly, I hope that the financial resource you dedicate to the mission of the parish is a decision you have arrived at in prayer. Through sound planning, please consider sacrificial giving. By sacrificial giving, I mean making a sacrifice. Setting aside a luxury, an avoidable expense, or even denying yourself something for our parish's mission. By sacrificial giving, I mean generosity that costs us something. Even the smallest sacrifice from each one of us can make a big difference in furthering the mission of Christ through our parish, especially moving into uncharted areas and critical areas of the parish. As I said, I'm raising my tithe by 10%. I'm inviting you to prayerfully arrive at any percent to which God might be leading you. Critical ministries of our parish depend on you. May I share two important small pieces of information? Because of all the financial mismanagement and the news you have been getting about parishes in the Dayton area, the Archdiocese conducted a financial review of our parish this year. The reviewers were very satisfied with the sound practices we employ and the safeguards against financial mismanagement. Let me assure you of this. I am not aware of any area in which we are at risk. I'm indebted to our parish staffs, Deb Bauer, Martha Lombard, and Cindy Reister, and the Finance Commission members, Ed McGarry, Janet Burkhardt, Joan Bowling, Lisa Schulte, and Greg Brackett, for their hard work and commitment. Secondly, within a few weeks, we intend to begin electronic giving. You will be able to donate electronically and automatically even as you use your regular envelopes. This makes it possible for the parish to receive your financial support more consistently. We will make adequate information available to you before we begin electronic giving. Let me conclude with these words. I invite you to evaluate all the gifts God has given you. Recommit yourself to the mission of Christ that was given to you at your baptism. Dedicate your time and your gifts to the mission of Christ. And finally, generously commit your financial resources to the parish so that we can be the presence of Christ in our neighborhood and even in the larger world. Do not wait for the other person to take the first step. Please be the first one. Today at this Mass, let us rededicate our parish to Mary, the greatest missionary disciple. May the parish entrusted to her care imitate her commitment and generosity. I pray, Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception, pray for us. Amen.